Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. Well, as I've been seeking the Lord for what He would have me share today and succeeding days, the Lord just moved on my heart and reminded me of the letters that have been coming in. There are many of God's people that seem to be under very intense attack, demonic attack, and spiritual warfare, and warfare in many dimensions. And so, beloved, I want to devote today to begin sharing a message with you from the Word of God on how we can be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, how we can be not ignorant of Satan's devices, how we can take to us the full armor of God, and that we can learn some very practical and very specific lessons from the Word of God. And this is from a servant of the Lord who had a mission, a call from God, and the enemy did everything possible to thwart and to discourage this servant of the Lord. And we'll see how God inspired him, how God led him. And if we will follow and understand the strategies of the enemy, God will give us the same kind of victory, regardless of what we're facing in our personal lives. And I believe it's because in your very heart, beloved, you have determined that this year is going to be different, that you no longer want to see the failures, the disappointments of the past in terms of your own walk with the Lord, but you want to be all that God has called you to be. That's my heart's desire. That's my prayer for God's spiritual family that He has placed with UCM. And so, for those of you who are UCM partners, for those who are part of the greater radio family, I want to begin in prayer, and I want that your hearts will be able to glean and grasp from Scripture those things that are pertinent and applicable to your spiritual walk and how you can overcome the enemy. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And God has given us the faith, beloved. He's given us the strength in Christ. He's giving us the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we can always be victorious. I mean, that might sound to the natural mind, oh man, that's impossible. But in God, through Christ, it is not impossible. That's God's plan for us if we will avail ourselves of the spiritual helps that He has provided in His Word. So let's begin in prayer. Father, Lord, I thank You for the privilege we have of coming together and sharing the good things of our God. Lord, not just the Word of the Lord, but the very Spirit of the Lord to be free to encourage and strengthen hearts. Father, right now I pray with the anointing of the Holy Spirit that right now You will touch every discouraged vessel. Everyone, Lord, who's been fighting the good fight of faith and might even feel like they've been losing ground. But Lord, we thank You that You do not give us ground to lose, but You give us ground that we might advance, just as You wanted the children of Israel to advance. They had battles to fight. They had giants to overcome. They had walled cities to take. But as they obeyed You, Lord, You said that every place they would set their feet, they could claim it as holy ground. And so, Father, just as You gave Joshua victory, although he had to fight for battles, the children of Israel were victorious because You were with them. And so, Father, I thank You right now for victory for Your beloved. Lord, that they will rise in the Spirit, they will rise in faith, and they will know that You are with them and that You will give them the tools that they need to walk in a consistent victory in the days, weeks, and months ahead. I thank You for it. Praise God. Amen and amen. Well, I said we were going to look at a servant of the Lord, and that servant of the Lord is Nehemiah. And we're going to be looking at the book of Nehemiah, and perhaps for some of you it's a very familiar story, but for those of you who may not be as familiar with it, let me just give you a brief accounting. There was a servant of the Lord by the name of Nehemiah, and he was cupbearer to the king. And it says in that opening verse, "It came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, and certain men of Judah, and since he was in captivity and serving the Lord in a foreign land, he asked concerning the Jews that had escaped and were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." Verse 4, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." And then what we see in these following verses, he fasted and he prayed and he repented of the sins of the children of Israel. He confessed their sins and he said, "Both I and my father's house have sinned against thee. We've dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses." And he reminds the Lord of his promises, that the Lord said that if they would return to him and keep his commandments, that he would gather them from thence, he would bring them unto the place that the Lord chose to set his name there. And so he prays in verse 11, "O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man." Of course, he was referring to the king. He was the king's cupbearer. And so in the second chapter, the king notices Nehemiah, and he asks, "Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." And he was very sore afraid. Of course, it was against the law to be sad in the presence of the king. And then in verse 3, he says, "Why shouldn't I be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" Then the king said unto me, "For what dost thou make request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And here we see that he is asking God for favor from this heathen king. So after Nehemiah prayed to the Lord, we see the response of the king, and of course we see answered prayer. "The king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. He had, of course, requested that he would be sent to Judah, to Jerusalem, that he could build it. And also, we see in verses 7 and 8 of that chapter 2, that he asked the king if letters could be sent to governors beyond the river, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that they could have the timber for the beams that they needed for the gates of the palace and for the wall of the city. And it says in the last portion of verse 8, chapter 2, "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Now, let me read verses 9 and 10, because so far so good. Here we see now there's starting to be opposition. Verse 9, "Then came I to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had set captains of the army and horsemen with me." Verse 10, "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days." Now, let's relate this to our personal walk. We will find, beloved, that no matter what we're doing for the Lord, we're always going to find the Sanballats and Tobias everywhere to oppose what God wants to do. What we see here And I'm not going to take the time to read the verses, but in that second chapter, Nehemiah doesn't tell anyone what he's going to do, but at night he goes out to take a survey of the gates, the walls, what needs to be done. And he went by night, and in verse 16 it says, "The rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." So he wanted to get an overview of what needed to be done. And in verse 17, he declares, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more an reproach." And in verse 18, "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So we see that, again, so far all is good. He takes a survey as a good leader, what needs to be done. I mean, you know, he's seeking God for his plan of action. He shares it with the leaders, and there is a willingness to respond and to rise up and to work together. But let's look at verse 19. "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and the Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" And so we see that his very first attempt to come there was met by opposition, and we're going to look at three types of overt attacks that the enemy uses to hinder God's work in your life. The opposition was immediate, as well as the willingness of the people. So I see my time is gone, and we'll have to take this up on tomorrow's broadcast. I do invite you to tune in. If at any point you miss a broadcast, want to rehear, just go to www.unveilchrist.org and click on the broadcast. Thank you for joining me today. If you have prayer needs, please note that contact information from our announcer. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, "May God's best forever be yours," is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.